Blog Talk Radio.
The inexplicable knifing of roommates of Elliot Rodger, the three Asian boys, two of them were roommates, one was visiting. Then the shooting of Christopher Michaels Ramirez, is, you know, it's just, nobody understands what went on. And then driving his BMW, Elliot Rodger hit two bicyclists and broke the legs, both legs of one, and then injured the other. So the question is, shall Americans now ban knives, ban BMWs, as well as guns? These tools, knives, BMWs, cars, guns, kill people. Don't kill people by themselves, but their usage. Irresponsible use of guns, irresponsible use of knives, irresponsible driving causes death and injury and these tragedies. There's no excuse for that. But to politicize it, this is what appears to be going on, and blaming the NRA to nothing to do with this, with that horrible tragedy. Does the NRA push everybody's right to carry a knife? Certainly not. Or to drive a BMW. I mean, this whole thing is illogical. It's sad that Christopher Michaels Ramirez was shot while in the store, shot dead. There's no excuse for that. Nobody's saying, yay, it happened. But to blame it on the NRA, no. This is outrageous, and it's politicization. This is not the first time this has happened, the politicization of death and tragedy. Let's go back to the 30s when the Nazis, one of their street boys, Horst Wessel, got into a street brawl with communists, and he was murdered. Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, used that as an excuse to trash the Jews, the German Jews living in Germany, and what was known as Kristallnacht. Another case in Paris, Ernest von Rath, a diplomat, was gay, homosexual. He was a lover of a Polish boy named Herschel Grispan, who was a refugee from Poland and apparently working as a street boy so he could survive. We don't know all the story because there's so much that's been covered up. The Nazis, again, politicized that and used that as an excuse to further trash the Jews and heap all kinds of abuse and to another excuse to round them up and put them in the concentration camps, steal their assets. Then we come to a more recent case, Matthew Shepard in Wyoming, who a book has been written by someone, Stephen, I think Martinez, if I'm not mistaken, who happens to be gay in his private life. He doesn't wear sexuality on his sleeve. And he did a 15-year investigation of this case. Matthew Shepard was brutally murdered, there's no excuse for that, by two of his acquaintance, two people that he knew very well, who apparently were, he supplied drugs and had sex with, homosexual sex with at least one of them. And the other one was coerced or went along and, you know, was implicated because he was there at the time of the murder and really didn't do anything to stop it or was afraid to, but nevertheless, that's the law. So what's happened is the propagandists politicized Matthew Shepard's brutal murder and used it as an excuse to set up a bogus nonprofit and also call it a hate crime, when in fact this was about drugs, money owed for drugs, and it was a sexual relationship with at least one of his killers. Matthew Shepard, when looked into his background, was not only dealing all kinds of drugs, and all kinds of sexual misconduct. He raped an 8-year-old boy. So, that was covered up. Then we come to Juan Pifre, an Argentine psychon of the Bank of Argentine, the Bank de Provincia of Buenos Aires, prominent bank and the oldest bank in Argentina. Juan Pifre's brother sit on the board of directors, or did at the time, and this bank is accused of receiving assets stolen from Jews and others by the Nazis during World War II. And of course, the Nazis, Mengele, and people like that, were given shelter after World War II, were given shelter in Argentina and given immunity from prosecution at Nuremberg. Excuse me. So, and of course, Juan Pifre's death, he lured an 18-year-old boy, a naive 18-year-old U.S. Navy sailor, and he had done this with other young military recruits, and he tried to rape Stephen Neri. He lured him into a sex act. He also believed to have had AIDS, and this was covered up. So what happens? The U.S. Navy was put on trial as homophobic. The U.S. Marine Corps was put on trial as homophobic. It was politicized, and it culminated in the HUD funding of a AIDS project here in San Francisco that cost the American taxpayers $10 million, and it's still going on. Not only that, the operators of this bogus nonprofit affordable housing project raised the rent on these supposed poor people. They raised the rent 400%. They didn't maintain the building. All kinds of complaints by the tenants, and of course, the morons in media covered that up. So again, we had the politicization of these tragedies, and it really doesn't, it's a disgrace, and it also undermines whatever credibility these politicizers have left. what's interesting is Richard Ramirez's son, Christopher Michael Ramirez, name does not crop up, linked to his father in this town of Los Osos, California, which is in, down there near Santa Barbara, one of the major central counties in California. So it's very interesting. The father is supposed to be a contractor, real estate. We don't know much about that. Dun & Bradstreet doesn't rate this, his real estate company. So there may be more coming out. And, of course, where is Christopher's mother? Is she living? Is she dead? Or is she just so shocked at what happened? And, of course, we can understand that. The mother of Elliot Rodger has surfaced. She's horrified. It's interesting. Nobody is talking about, and nobody in the media is talking about the fact that Elliot Rodger was born in London, and his mother is Malaysian Chinese. It's interesting. And, of course, the first victims of Elliot Rodger was the three Chinese youths Asian Chinese that are born here in the United States, and they were knifed to death. They weren't shot. They weren't run over by a BMW. Isn't this interesting? It appears to be more there. Maybe he hated his mother. We don't know. There's a lot of trouble with that family, and it appears that they had money troubles, yet the son's driving a late model BMW car, which looks like it costs over $50,000, and maybe it was leased. We don't know. By the way, the reason we are seeing so many Mercedes, BMWs, Audis, Saabs, these expensive foreign muscle cars is because the car dealers, the car manufacturers cannot sell them. They cost too much, so they lease them for as little as $200 a month. Maybe this was a leased BMW. We don't know, but it's totaled, as you can see by the pictures. So these are just some of the issues here in this horrible, horrible case. And also, Ramirez made the same thing. He ought to just step back and just mourn. You know, he has a right to mourn. He has a right to grief. And people should sympathize with him for the loss of his son and whatever circumstances are within his family's. Since we don't know anything about the mother, and that's a legitimate question, if he's living or dead or just in total shock, which is understandable. However, he's making statements about, oh, no more, and all that. If memory serves me right, remembering in 1969, I think it was 1970, we had the Manson murders, brutal murders, which were down in Southern California. We've had other murders, the murders, the luring, drugging, mutilation, rape, and dismemberment of several U.S. military recruits, young military recruits, Marines, throughout California. This happened during the 60s and the 70s. There's been a lot of brutal murders. Thank God none of these people were tortured and mutilated. I mean, it's bad enough that they were brutally murdered. That's bad enough. But, you know, we've got to step back and apply perspective to these horrible situations because people do these things, and they will continue to be done. Look what's happening in Africa. Look what's happening in Syria. Look what's happening in some parts of China and Russia and the Ukraine. People are people, and they haven't changed much since the beginning of time. And we can go back to the killing of in the Bible, of one of the brothers. So Cain and Abel. Yeah, there we go. Cain and Abel. So maybe things will change. We don't know. We can hope so. We can work toward that. But just to make these outrageous statements, even in the grip of grief, really, we need to get some perspective. Among the, it's interesting today talking about death. On this day in 1738, Dr. Joseph Guillotin was born. I get this. And of course, this has come up recently because one of the reasons the guillotine was used in the French Revolution was because the aristocrats had so abused the peasants and the poor people, they would ride their horses recklessly through the streets of the French cities, and anybody gotten away got run over. And people got tired of this, the abuses of overtaxation, disrespect toward other human beings, rape of young girls, things like that, church abuses. And so when the French people got a fill of this and stormed the Bastille, they wanted to put these people, teach them a lesson, and the guillotine was put to work. Some people think we ought to bring it back. Also on this day, one of the great Confederate generals, Beauregard, was born, and he was known as the hero of Fort Sumter, from Louisiana, great general. And of course, there was a Marine general in World War II who, I think his middle name was Beauregard. A great naturalist, Joseph Agassiz, was born on this day. English writer G.K. Chesterton, I think he was a friend of Cardinal Newman. Newman may have converted them to the Roman Catholicism. The great Native American athlete who won many awards, in the Olympics, and then was disqualified because he had done some professional sports, or was accused of it. Jim Thorpe, born on this day. A great Czech patriot, Edward Beneš, who was believed to have been murdered, tried to make, after Austro-Hungary was defeated in World War I, Czechoslovakia got its freedom. then we had today Rudy Giuliani, who had political ambition to be president. His birthday today. Among the deaths today, an actor who was a hero in World War II and did a couple of B films, Audie Murphy, died. The Duke of Windsor, who abdicated the throne because he couldn't marry the woman he loved, Wallace Simpson. So Edward VIII, the uncrowned King of England, died at 77. We had, let's see, who else we have here? Among the events, getting back to religion, Henry VIII's marriage, illegal marriage in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church. Henry VIII's marriage to Anne Boleyn was declared null and void by the Roman Catholic Church. We had Fernando de Soto landed in Florida, so the Spanish, that was their first claim. George Washington, in one of his first battles at Fort Duquesne, defeated the French and Indians. That's where he learned a lot of military tactics. And in 1863, and they made a movie out of this called Glory, the first black regiment was set up in Massachusetts. In California, in the late 19th century, the Sierra Club was set up out here in California by John Muir. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge opened, and of course some people think that the to just charge fees for cars is outrageous when they don't charge bicycles. That may be coming, and that may change. Then in 1956, America has always been the breadbasket in recent times for the world, especially after World War I, we fed the Russians. They had a great famine. After World War II, we fed, through the Marshall Plan, fed Europe and Japan. 1956, General Eisenhower, one of the heroes of World War II, he set up, or his administration, I think it was Ezra Taft Benson, was the Secretary of Agriculture, set up the farm surplus government plan. I remember at school, we would get butter, real butter, and beef in the cans and all kinds of goodies that were farm surplus that was given, bought up, the excess was bought up from the farmers, and instead of being plowed over like Roosevelt did during the Depression, this food went out to schools and hospitals and orphanages to help people. And we really need that today with so many people going hungry and so little food that should be redistributed instead of being thrown into the garbage can. This is very important that America still produces more than it needs to feed its people, and a lot of this food, unfortunately, is wasted. Now, among the other things, I think it's appropriate to play, and I think since we're talking about tragedy, I think I'll play a couple of the clips from these women, these mothers whose children, they also should be heard, whose children have been either abducted or are missing. And so here's Sean Dickerson's mother's plea.
Show up. His roommate thought he was getting out of the rent because rent was due the next day, and so he thought that he was just kind of skipping out and maybe off to someone's house. So they waited, and actually they themselves, and we didn't know, because after Sean moving here, after a few years, me and my husband from Modesto ended up moving to Colorado and kept in constant contact with Sean. And he, after keeping contact with him, he came up missing and he wasn't picking up his phone and he wasn't answering. So they even tried to see if he was with us and that sort of thing, but we didn't find out for like a week that Sean was missing. So, of course, we got on the horn and started talking to the police, and Detective Carroll was Sean's first detective, and it was going nowhere because he's an adult, he's a young man, and he could be missing if he wants to. That's his right. They would not.
Well, that's just one of the mothers. Now, we talked about hunger in America and government food surplus plans, surplus stocks. And this happened, well, during the Depression, FDR, to try to stabilize the farm production and to keep the prices artificially high, some people thought, they plowed under surplus crops. But ironically, in Chicago, Al Capone fed the homeless. And here's an excerpt from an interview that we did with Pat Butler, who is one of the foremost journalists, the real journalists in Illinois.
Al Capone, especially during the Depression, was some of a benefactor.
Right, the pigeons.
Yes, I have talked to people who swear that they are alive today, or at least not nourished today. This was a few years ago, so they may not be alive today.
Right.
Because of Al Capone's soup kitchen. You know, and yes, they recognize the fact that Al Capone made his living in a, what some consider to be a morally unconventional way.
No, the ethnics I'm talking about, the Irish, the Germans, the Czechs.
The Irish ones that were actually a point, I mean, we had Irish gangs that were competing for, especially North South,
right.
with Al Capone. It was one of the reasons St. Valentine's Day.
Right. Moran just missed it.
Because Moran was a Capone. If to go on the other way, very possible that the Irish gangs have dominated the North Chicago.
Right.
And it's also possible that, you know, things being what they are, I might have found myself in a different profession. And that, you know, P.D. Enforcer Butler or Patty DePena.
I think the latter is more appropriate. But what I was getting at, since the groups I'm talking about are all predominantly Roman Catholic, what was the church's attitude?
The church had a very, remember, the church was a lot more Puritan back in those days. Pastors, in some cases, were considered to, quote-unquote, publicans, and denied burial. Especially under Normandelein.
Right.
Wasn't denied burial in Catholic cemeteries.
Well, now, one, Jaime Weiss, who's his name, was one of the shot on the steps of Holy Name
Cathedral.
Yeah. Right, I understand.
When they remodeled the cathedral, remodeled it in such a way that it obliterated
the bullet hole.
Bullet
holes. Remember, the preaching in Alto, I class when I attended Holy Name Cathedral.
Yeah,
but he was buried in Carmel, I understand. The other guy, the so-called journalist, starts with
Klingo,
yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes they were buried in other cemeteries first and then buried.
Oh, then, yeah, okay, that could have happened, no.
Yeah, because, you know, things change.
Yeah, right.
And now it's not unusual for people to be reburied later if the Fuhrer dies. Now, Al Capone, on the other hand, was buried in
Carmel.
Al Carmel, and
I think they from the worships and the priests work their section.
And in those days, as is true today, the ethnic group in Chicago had its own cemetery. I mean, Leo, our friend, buried in St. Casimir Cemetery, is a Lithuanian cemetery.
You know that?
What's that cemetery? Up on Clark Street, St. Boniface.
Oh, yeah, the German.
Boniface is the German cemetery.
Okay.
If you're German Catholic, you're buried there for the mark. Old Saint Cemetery is a kind of an Eric cemetery.
Right.
It was originally mostly Irish.
No,
Calvary Cemetery, you probably have to have an Irish name to get in. I mean, really, you do. That's Butler burial.
What Bugs Moran and the victims of the Valentine's Day matter? I assume most Catholic were buried.
Most of them buried in cemeteries on the South and West Side.
Were they Catholic or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't think they've ever been brought up.
Bugs Moran used to be altar boy at Holy Name.
Oh, I didn't know. Hey, that's an item.
Oh, yeah.
But what did the priests then? You know, condemned the Chicago Archdiocese is dominated by Irish ethnics. You just take a view on prohibition, banning of alcohol.
The Catholic never really was dead against
alcohol,
imbibing spirits.
Okay.
they have, after all, a great reverence for the Holy Spirit.
Right.
No, seriously.
No, I know what you're saying. Well, then the church was allowed to have wine.
Like some churches, which really dead set against liquor. The Catholic Church has had that problem. The Anglicans do not have the problem as long as you're drinking expensive brandy.
Yeah, right. Henry VIII for that.
you know, about some religions, and you know, really they forget the fact that Christ didn't drink wine.
Right. And, well, I used to tell my Mormon friends there's more for me. As somebody tells you, you're older,
no,
I'd say
great. In the old days, Mormons had multiple wives.
Yeah.
They were not leaving for you or for me.
Yeah, there are a lot of things about Mormons. We'll get into that one right now.
Well, since it is Jim Thorpe's day, I think this is a rare audio excerpt. President Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower, comments on Jim Thorpe.
One of the cadets on the Army team was Dwight Eisenhower, future Supreme Allied Commander in World War II and President of the United States.
Our coaching told us that these people are tricky. They're very tricky players. And you people got to be on your mettle or you're going to be surprised. Now, we were surprised by this man's speed and the frequency with which he got the ball.
Well, we're going to end now with Politics and Poker. We'll be back at our usual time. We've been delayed because of some medical things I have to take care of. So we're in with our usual Politics and Poker. Excuse me.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you $5. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck! Politics and poker! Politics!
good night, people. This is Peter Paul Brazil. We'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and hope we get the rest of this corrected. We just spent a lot of money on upgrading our computer system. Good night. Take care. Stay safe.